You're listening to the Bethel Community Church Podcast. Our podcast normally showcases our weekly sermons here in Chicago at 7601 West Foster. Now, podcasts are great, but they do not replace the care and community you receive from the local church or from your local pastor. So we encourage you to come, join our community, or contact us to help you find a community in your area. We pray the Lord speaks to you as you listen. Enjoy.
So today we have Andy Owens with us, who serves with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I would just like to also say, afterwards, the service, we're going to have a pizza and greet Andy in the fellowship room, and he'll be also explaining a lot more about his ministry. Okay, so we hope you can stay for that. Andy is the area director of the Central Kentucky East Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which works with schools, coaches, athletes in eight counties of the elementary, middle, and high schools. He is also the campus director of Eastern Kentucky University and chaplain of the EKU football team. Their mission is to lead every coach and athlete in their area into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and his church. Andy, his wife Erin, and their children Maven and Judah are actively involved with their ministry. They love having athletes in their house and outreach and discipleship. So could you please give a warm welcome to Andy?
There we go. I can hear myself. Well, thank you all so much for allowing me the opportunity to come be with you all today. And more than anything, just want to thank you all as a church for your faithful support, prayers, and just encouragement of our family over the past many years. You all have just been such a blessing to us, and we can't thank you enough. This morning, as we get ready to kick off Missions Conference, what I'd sort of like to do is just have two parts to what we do this morning. Just sort of let you know a little bit about our ministry with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, as well as look at our theme for this week of Made for a Mission. But there we go. So my family is my wife Erin and I, and then we have two young kids, Maven and Judah, and they are very sorry they couldn't be with us this morning. Both of our kids are on house quarantine this week under doctor's orders. With a virus that's going around. So the good news is that they're doing well, but they're just having a little quality time with mom this morning. And so pray for her and pray for them that everybody will get better soon and be able to get back out. But we serve in Richmond, Kentucky. If you ever go down I-75, we're right off I-75 there in Richmond, and with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And with FCA, as Jim said a minute ago, our mission is to lead every coach and athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and his church. That's what we want to do. And when one of the things we always say is every means every. That's our goal, is to reach every coach and athlete. And so we are hard at work at trying to fulfill our mission. It's not something that one person can do. And so a couple years ago, FCA decided that we were going to go smaller to go bigger. Shrink to grow. And so that's when I became the area director for Central Kentucky East FCA, and some that are going into high schools, middle schools, and elementary schools, and then a few more that are going into Eastern Kentucky University with me, as well as we have another college in our county that we have not even begun to reach yet. And so we're working hard at that. We're also working hard at recruiting new staff and volunteers. And so God's just doing a lot in our area. This past year, we had two new staff join our team. And so we're super excited about that. But the way that we try to reach our area is through what we call E3 discipleship. E3 stands for engage, equip, and empower. So what we want to do in our area, in our schools, with our athletes, is we want to go in, we want to engage them with the gospel. We want to challenge them to follow Christ as Lord and Savior. And from there, we want to equip them and give them the tools that they need to go out and make disciples who are making disciples. So we equip them through one-on-one discipleship, through huddles in the schools, through Bible studies, through resources, through camps, all kinds of things. And then finally, we want to empower them, give them the opportunity to go out, share their testimony, share their faith, share what God has done in their lives, to lead Bible studies and make disciples with those that they're reaching. So our area, as you can see here, this is Central Kentucky East FCA. We have 8 counties that we cover in our area. And in that area, we do lots of different types of ministry. One of the things we do is school huddles. We go right into the school, and we do what these are called is multi-sport huddles. Basically, all that means is that anybody can come. It doesn't matter what team you're on or if you're not even on a team at the school. But these are student-led huddles. Some meet before school. Some meet after school. There are some that meet on club days during school. These are student-led groups where they do Bible studies. They have speakers. They do worship right in the school system. And you hear a lot of things today about how God is not allowed in the public schools, and it's just not true. When you make it optional and it's student-led, you can do so much for God in the schools. So what we do is we go in and we equip the coaches and the teachers to put together a leadership team of students that then leads all the other students in these huddles. And we've seen it work in so many different ways, and we tailor it to meet what each school's need is. So some, like I said, meet mornings, some meet on club days. We've got one school right now that meets every single day of the week. Every single day, for a half hour before school starts, the kids gather in their sponsor's room. Sometimes they bring in somebody to do a devotion. Sometimes it's testimonies. Every Wednesday, they have Wednesday worship. And so it's just an awesome thing that we're able to go within the public school and do. We also have what we call character coaches. Character coaches is just our PC way of saying team chaplains. We train pastors and youth pastors or other just godly men and women in the community to be team chaplains. We give them a foot in the door to the local schools that they wouldn't normally have. They're able to go into the schools and work with individual teams. Sometimes it's as simple as sharing a devotion once a week. Other times they almost become like a part of the coaching staff, and they're able to take and travel with the team, lead Bible studies, get the teams into churches where churches are able to feed the teams and share the gospel with them. And so it's just really cool opportunity that gives the community a chance to serve the schools as well. We also have tons of camps. The one thing that's awesome about FCA is if there's a sport that you like, chances are we have a camp for it. In Kentucky, two of our biggest are our wrestling camp, where we'll have over 300 athletes and coaches come to learn wrestling techniques from college and Olympic-level coaches. But what's awesome is every night there's chapel, and the speakers for chapel are the same Olympic athletes and coaches that are training them throughout the day. So they get to be impacted by them on the mat as well as from the stage when they hear their testimony. And then we have our leadership camp. Every summer at Western Kentucky University, over 700 students from around the state of Kentucky gather at leadership camp, where we train them on knowing what they believe and why, how to share their faith, how to defend their faith. One of the most awesome things we do at leadership camp is we put them into small groups, and they are sent out on a faith-building trip where they do door-to-door evangelism. This summer, I had the opportunity to lead a group of about 15 high school girls into some neighborhoods in Bowling Green, Kentucky, to do door-to-door evangelism. For most of them, it was the first time they'd ever shared their faith. And so it's just a really, really awesome opportunity we have there. We do a lot of coaches' ministries in the public high schools and middle schools. Coaches, it's a lonely thing to be a coach. It's even lonelier a lot of times for their spouses. So we want to love on our coaches. We want to disciple them. We want to do Bible studies with them, pour into them. The picture you see up there is from one of our coach and spouse marriage getaways, where we bring them to a hotel in Lexington for a weekend marriage conference where they're given biblical principles for marriage. They're loved on, and just we're able to pour into them. And so we also do every month at different schools, we do coaches breakfast, where each month we take it and get a different church to sponsor breakfast for the coaches. But then the pastor or youth pastor gets to do a devotion with the coaches and invite them to their church. But a lot of what I do is on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, where God just has really opened up a lot of doors for us. You can see some of the things that we do up there right now. But at EKU, our ministry is just really taken off. On Monday nights, we have a huddle with over 70-something EKU athletes that join us every Monday night for a time of games, worship, and studying God's Word together. When we first started, there's 10 to 20 kids, and we started growing. And then right before quarantine, we had about 35 athletes that were joining us each Monday night. But quarantine hit, and we got kicked off campus at the university. And so the church that Aaron and I go to, they said we could use their sanctuary on Monday nights to meet with our students. The athletic department said we could invite them. So we invited the students to come there for a huddle. And one of the awesome things that we've seen in a time when our ministry should have really shrunk or even died because we're moving off campus away from the students, it took off. We went from 30-something kids to over 50-something kids each week because we were the only thing that the athletic department would allow the individual teams to gather for together. And so they were so wanting fellowship that they came every Monday night. And it's just been growing from there, and now we're up to over 70 kids each week that we're able to pour into. We're also able to take and do Bible studies with them. Right now we have men's and women's Bible studies throughout the week. We have team studies where our leadership team kids are going back and doing leading Bible studies with their individual teams. The picture you see up there is a summer Bible study in our backyard that meets. Another thing that we do is we talked about earlier, empowering students to go out and share their faith. This is one of my football players that I've been able to take around to share his testimony of something was missing in his life. He was contemplating suicide, and God rescued him, and now he's going to different high schools sharing with high school football teams. So we're taking those college athletes and letting them use their platforms in the local schools as well. Another picture here just of our Monday nights outreach and some of our Bible studies. I've also been blessed to be the football chaplain for EKU's football team. Every Friday night, I'm either leading a chapel for the football team or bringing in somebody else to speak to the team. And it's just been an awesome opportunity. Our previous coaching staff, they had me do chapels, but it wasn't mandatory. So you'd have 25 guys show up, but you'd hear the rest of the team out in the hallway. Our current coaching staff, our coach says it's team building, and he requires everybody to come to chapel. And so I'm able to speak to 100 coaches and football players every Friday night, and we share the gospel with them each week, and just been able to build that relationship, travel with the team. Last weekend, I was in Missouri with the team, and next weekend, we'll be in Alabama at Jacksonville State University with the team. But just those types of relationships that God has been able to open the doors over and over for us. We also do winter retreats with the kids. This is last year's winter retreat. We just took our Eastern Kentucky University kids with us, and it went well. And unfortunately, it may have went too well because now this year they've asked us to take every collegiate athlete in the state of Kentucky that wants to go. So be praying for me the weekend of January 20th. I'll be camp director for a collegiate winter retreat where we're expecting between 150 and 200 college athletes. So, but it's just another opportunity that God has given us. But I would love to talk to you more about our ministry. I'll be in the back afterwards. I've got a table set up there with more information. I know we've got the pizza time, but we'd love to just share with you what God's doing. And you all are truly partners in the gospel and in what God is doing in our area. Just the encouragement that you all give us. We get cards and notes from you all checking in, praying with us, and we can't thank you enough for that. And we wouldn't be able to do what we do without you all. You all are truly part of the mission that God has given us to reach every coach and athlete in our area. And he's doing amazing things. And like I said, I'd love to talk to you more later. But the things he's doing, I know they're God things. And you're a part of that because it's nothing that I'm doing. Things I'm doing shouldn't be working. And he's doing powerful things. So today, what I'd like to do with the rest of our time is just talk to you about being made for a mission. That's the theme for our missions conference this week, made for a mission. And, you know, as I said, you all are partners in the mission that we've been called to there with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. But each one of us is called to mission as well. Each one of us is called to serve Christ as Christ followers, share him with others. So we want to take and look at that. But let's pray real quick. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this day. I thank you for the opportunity just to be here among so many friends and family, dear Lord, today, and just to worship you and just to celebrate what you're doing in missions this week, dear God, here locally, here nationally, and around the world, dear God. You are still in control. You are still all-powerful, and you are still bringing the lost to yourself. And we just thank you for that, and we thank you for the opportunity to be a part of that work, dear Lord. Just pray right now as we dive into your word that you would just take and give me clarity of speech and thought, dear God, and just that more than anything that you would be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Well, I want to start out today with probably what's the best and most well-known Bible verse in the whole Bible, John 3:16. Because when we're looking at the idea of missions and being made for a mission, this is really where we need to start. And we're going to look at three key words in here. But it says here, and we'll be reading out the Christian Standard Bible today. It says, "For God loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." And I want you to particularly pay attention to these three words, because these three words form the basis of everything we're going to talk about this week, and probably everything you're going to know about missions throughout your life. The first word that we see here is God. The second word we see is loved. And the third word that we see is world. If you want to know why God is a mission-minded God, and if you want to know why we ought to be a mission-minded church, and if you want to know why every Christ follower should be a mission-minded Christ follower, it's summed up in these three words: God, loved, and world. If we love God, if we truly love God, then we will love what God loves, and God loves the world. God loves everyone in the world, whether they love him back or not. And the reason we're going to be putting such a strong emphasis on this world, on this word mission today, is very simple. If God loves the world enough to send his only Son, we ought to love the world enough to give of ourselves. Plain and simple. If he would send his only Son for this world, we ought to be willing to give ourselves. God wants each person in here to have a ministry in the church, but he also wants you to have a mission in the world. The difference is ministry is serving Christ primarily for believers, and mission is sharing Christ with unbelievers. In fact, the ultimate goal of the church is to make disciples, and the ultimate result of a disciple is a follower of Christ who agrees to be a missionary. It's all tied together. And I know many of you are sitting there thinking exactly what I would have many years ago when I was a Moody student sitting here. How can I be a missionary? How can I be a missionary? And the reason why evangelism and missions must be in your heart is because it was the heart of Jesus. The last words Jesus ever said before he ascended to heaven are found in Acts 1:8, and it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When Jesus Christ left this earth, he had missions on his mind. Think about it this way. Jesus to missions. A few years back, Aaron and I were looking for a church. We just moved, and we were looking for a church to attend. And as you all know, shortly after we moved, Aaron was diagnosed with breast cancer. So we sort of just had to pick a church and settle in for a while till her health was back on track. And the church that we were going to was a good church, and they were great to us. But there were some things that just kept coming up. And one of the things that came up was I was at a leadership training at the church. And the pastor gets up, and he starts talking about the church and the goals of the church and everything like that. But his thing, the thing that he said was that the goal of the church that we were attending at that time, he said the goal of the church was not missions. He didn't say missions. He didn't say anything like that. Said the goal of the church was simply to be the largest church in the city, the largest church in the county. And I don't know about you, but that broke my heart. And I think it should break yours too. Because he never once said, the purpose of the church is to win the world for Jesus Christ. The purpose of the church is to share the gospel. The purpose of the church is to bring the lost to Christ. That is the purpose of the church. And when we think about missions, I want to submit to you today that Jesus Christ did not come to this planet to die on a cross and pay for the sins of the world just so that we could become a spiritual social club, just so that we could have a holy huddle that meets on Sundays or whatever day we choose to meet and tell each other how wonderful we are. I submit to you today that Jesus Christ came to this earth, died for the sins of the world, and left us, his followers, on this earth so that we can share with those who do not know Christ how they too can be forgiven and follow him. And I want to make three statements to you right now, and you need to determine whether or not you believe them and whether or not you agree with them, because whether or not you agree with these statements or whether or not you believe in them is going to determine your heart for missions. First of all, number one, Jesus Christ was who he says he was. Who did he say he was? He said he was the Son of God. He said he was God in the flesh. He said he was the Messiah. He said he was the Savior of the world. Do you believe this, that Jesus Christ was who he said he was? Secondly, Jesus Christ did what he said he did. And what did he say he did? He said that he died for the sins of the world. He said that 3 days later he was raised from the grave, defeating sin and death. Jesus Christ did what he said he did. And thirdly, heaven and hell are real, and people can only go to heaven through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's only one way that you won't get excited about these three statements, and you won't get excited and motivated to be involved in missions, and that's if you disagree with any of these statements or all of these statements. Or I could say it this way. Anyone who has no desire to be used in their own way with their own giftedness to help bring people around this world to Jesus Christ, however that might be, are really saying that they don't believe in these statements or that they just don't care. If you disagree with these statements, and I firmly believe in them, then the verse we read just a minute ago in Acts 1:8 gives us all the encouragement on how we can be missionaries and how we can serve God. So how can we be a missionary? If God says those, if Jesus says those three things, that he was who he says he was, that he did what he said he did, and that heaven is real, and we can only go there with a personal relationship with him, how can we be a missionary? Because if we believe those three statements, we ought to be motivated to be missionaries. So Acts 1:8 is where we're going to look. In Acts 1:8, we find a few things that will help us realize how each one of us can be a missionary for Christ. The first thing that we find in Acts 1:8 is that I can use God's power for missions. I can use God's power for missions. I want to give you some great news and take a tremendous amount of pressure off of you, a great load off of your shoulders. You do not have to be a perfect Christian, seminary trained, great at public speaking, or even extremely knowledgeable of the Bible to fulfill your role as a missionary for Christ. Quite frankly, if those were the requirements, very few of us would be able to be missionaries or do any sort of missionary work. The first requirement to doing missions for God is the power to carry out the mission that he's given us. And in Acts 1:8, we see here in the very beginning of Acts 1:8, this is exactly how Jesus begins with this tremendous promise where he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, whether you believe this or not, or whether you appropriate this or not on a daily basis, you as a child of God have at your disposal the greatest power in the universe, the greatest power here on planet Earth. You have the power of the Holy Spirit of God. God's Holy Spirit is his missionary power. He gives you the power through the Holy Spirit to go out and serve him as a missionary, to go out and share the gospel, to go out and reach the lost for him. And the problem, though, is that the average follower of Christ, it's not that they don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. The problem is that they don't use this power. Rarely in churches do we talk about the strength that we can find through the Holy Spirit working in us. God gave us his Spirit to guide us. He gave us his Spirit to strengthen us. And I want you to write this statement down, and I want you to get it into your heart today. Missions takes a team effort. Missions takes a team effort. And you and I have a teammate in this work called missions, and that teammate is the Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is our teammate in missions. Acts 5:32 says this. It says, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those that obey him. The Holy Spirit is our teammate. Missions is so important to our Heavenly Father and is so much a part of the passion of his heart that he not only does not want us to try to do missions on our own, he gives us his Spirit. He says, I'm not going to let you go do missions on your own. I'm not just going to send you out to figure this thing out by yourself. I'm going to give you my Spirit, to give you power to do this mission that I've called you to, this mission that I'm passionate about, to reach the lost for Christ. He gives us his Spirit to carry out his missions work. And if you don't believe what I'm about to tell you, then this particular message is going to be a total waste of your time. If what Jesus said is true about the Holy Spirit and the role that it plays in the life of a follower of Christ, you have to believe this. You have to believe that God can use you in his way with your personality. He can use your giftedness, your passions to carry out his mission work of moving people to faith in Jesus Christ. The encouraging news is to do this, we can use God's power for missions. God's Spirit working through you can take every bit of your gift, your talent, your personality, all of that, and have an impact for the kingdom. You have the power of the Holy Spirit to help you be part of his mission. Secondly, we find in Acts 1:8 that I can fulfill God's purpose for missions. With this power and because of this power, Jesus goes on to say in Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses. I will be his witness. You will be his witness. But you may be sitting there once again and saying, how can I be a missionary? But remember for a second who Jesus is talking to here in Acts 1:8. Jesus is talking to tax collectors. He's talking to fishermen. He's talking to farmers. He's talking to shepherds. He's talking to homemakers. He's talking to the young. He's talking to the old. He's talking to businessmen. He's talking to the rich. He's talking to the poor. In other words, he's talking to people just like you and me when he says, you will be my witnesses. He's talking to all of us. There is no plan B for God to reach this world and show his love except for us. He, in all his wisdom, has decided a game plan for reaching this lost world that it's us as Christ followers sharing the gospel with the lost. That's his game plan for reaching this lost world. And he wants us to be his witnesses. He wants us to go out and be a witness for him. And this word witness, it should be a word that encourages us, not discourages us. And I don't know if any of you all have ever been a witness in a courtroom, or maybe you're just like me and watch a lot of courtroom dramas. But when you think of this word witness and you think about it, a witness is somebody who literally goes into court, sits down and takes an oath, and you all know it, to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help them God. And that's what a witness does. You don't have to be anxious or fearful when you're a witness, and the reason why is because all you have to do is tell the truth. It's all a witness has to do, to tell what you have seen, tell what you have heard, tell what you know, and tell what has happened to you. When some people think about this word witness, they think about it as some type of a salesperson. But we're not talking about using high-pressured sales tactics to reach the lost. Actually, it's quite the opposite. You're not selling anything. You're giving something away for free that is wonderful and exciting. So all we have to do is be a witness. God has not called us to be his lawyers. He's not called us to be his prosecuting attorneys, his defense counsel, or his judge. God has called us to be witnesses. A witness is very simply a person with a testimony, and if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a testimony. 1 John 5:10 says this, the one who believes in the Son of God has this testimony within himself. Each person that is a Christ follower has a testimony. Everybody in this room who knows Jesus Christ and has at some point come to where they have received him as their Lord and Savior has a personal testimony. All missions is tearing the roof off the church, knocking down the walls, and getting those testimonies out of the church and into the world. And each one of your all's testimonies is special. Last week, I had a beach volleyball player at EKU get up and share her testimony. And she was scared to share her testimony because she didn't think it was that special. She grew up in a Christian home. Her parents are both believers, both taught Bible studies, did FCA in their local schools, and she just was really conflicted about, I don't have this great testimony. Well, here's the thing. She had an awesome testimony. We started talking of God, how God had protected her and guided her throughout her life. Each person in here has a testimony, and your testimony is special, and your testimony is powerful because it is your story of what God has done in your life. And that's what he calls us as his witnesses to do, is to go out and share that story, to share that testimony. So let's go back to that courtroom example. As a witness, you don't have to argue the case. You don't have to try to prove the truth. You don't have to press for a verdict. All you have to do is simply testify what you know, what you have seen, and what you have heard. That's all being a missionary is, simply bearing witness in your own way with your own gifts, your own personality, your own passions, what Christ has done for you. That's what being a missionary is. A recent Gallup poll discovered that 89% of Americans are intensely interested in spiritual matters. 89% of people in the U.S. are intensely interested in spiritual matters. The problem is not that there are not enough people out there open to our mission efforts. The problem is we don't have enough people who are willing to make the effort to do missions, to go out and be God's witness. But we can fulfill God's purpose for missions. We can go out and be his witnesses. Acts 1:8 also tells us that we can participate in God's plans for mission, for missions. Jesus not only tells us what we are to do and how we are to do it, here in Acts 1:8, he tells us where we are to do it. The way he tells us to do it is where we actually start out locally. He says here in verse 8, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem." Now, where was Jesus standing when he gave this sermon? He was standing in Jerusalem. In other words, he's saying the first place you need to begin to be a missionary is right where you live, right in your neighborhood, right in your own community. That will always be the primary responsibility of the church, to start missions work here at home. And the primary responsibility of you and I as Christ followers is to start missions work right where God has us planted. It's not where we start, where we stop, but that's where we start. The point is this: you don't have to always go overseas to be a missionary. You don't have to leave this community to be involved in God's missions work. You can start right here. So I grew up, my dad's a home missionary, and I grew up with him going to different college campuses to recruit people to work at their camp and within their mission field. And it never failed whenever he was in a group setting with questions and answers, especially with young people. There would always be somebody that would start talking to him about how he got into missions and what advice would he offer them for somebody who was thinking about going into missions or even coming with the organization that my dad leads. And he always came back to this thing where he would just simply say, start where you're at right now. Don't wait. Start where you're at right now. Don't wait till you're older. Don't wait till you have your financial situation figured out. Don't wait till you graduate from Bible school. Don't wait till you've had X amount of years in the local church. Start serving God where you are right now. Now, there's going to be growth along the way, and there's going to be stretching, and you're going to be learning, and that's fine. But start serving where you are right now, and that's what Jesus is telling us here with missions. We've got to start out locally, and we've got to start out now. And then Jesus says that we're to leave our community and go into our country. In other words, we are not only to experience missions locally, but we're to experience missions nationally. Jesus said that after Jerusalem, we are to go into Judea and Samaria. Right here in our country, and in this country right now, we're on your money. It says, "In God we trust." There are 170 million people who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're currently partnering with home missionaries like myself to go out and reach those 170 million people here in the U.S. And I told you earlier, FCA's mission statement is to lead every coach and athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and his church. As a church, on a national level, it should be our goal to go out and lead everyone into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and his church. We've got to have a heart for missions nationally. We've got to reach people at home. You're not going to have foreign missionaries if you don't have home missionaries. We've got to pour into our country here and reaching the lost for Jesus Christ here in the U.S. And finally, we are to leave the community and leave the country and go to the continents. Jesus said we are to experience missions internationally. And he ended by saying that we are to go to the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth. I know this is an idealistic thought, but my hope and prayer is that every person in here who is healthy enough and able, physically able, at least once would be able to go on a true missions trip outside the borders of the United States. For years, people have given and they've prayed for missionaries overseas, but we live in a time where you can go. And I want to encourage you to go visit your missionaries, go serve. I know for the past couple years with COVID and everything else, things tightened up, but borders are opening up again. Are you ready to go serve? And you may be thinking here, you know, well, how can I go serve? Here's the thing. your gifts, your talents that you have right now, God can use overseas. Right now, there, if you're a business person, there are people overseas that need to know how to start a business, how to keep a business running, how to implement biblical business principles. You can go serve in that way. If you're a doctor or dentist, there's always medical needs abroad. If you're a teacher, you can always go help teach overseas, even if it's just a short time. I've seen in what we do with our athletes that even if you just like sports, there are opportunities for you to go play overseas and use athletics as a way to share the gospel. Aaron and I were meeting with a church about support a couple years ago, and there was a young girl there. She loved athletics, wasn't really that athletic, but she wanted to use that passion to go overseas and serve. So what she did, she went to school and she became an athletic trainer. Now she's traveling over in China and all these other places serving as an athletic trainer so that she can share the gospel. Whatever your talent is, whatever your giftedness is, whatever skills that you have, I guarantee you, if you will willingly give it to God and say, God, I want to go serve you, especially overseas, we can find a place. Thinking about missions, get your blood racing a little bit. But quite frankly, none of this will happen unless one thing happens. The fire of missions will never be ignited in our heart or in this church unless our final point comes true. And that is that I can discover God's passion for missions. I can discover God's passion for missions. Believe me when I say this last point is by far the most important point of what I'm talking to you all about today, because your passion determines your priorities. Priorities always determine your passion. If a person's priority is making money, their passion is going to be making money. If a person's priority is playing golf, golf's going to be their passion. However, if a person's priority is making people who do not know Christ or do not go to church a priority, people will become your passion. When you make the lost your priority, they become your passion. And this is the kind of passion I want for my life, and it's the kind of passion that I pray that you have in your life. It's the passion that Paul talked about when he said in our theme verse for this week in Acts 20:24, he says, my purpose is to finish my course and the ministry or mission I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of God's grace. That's the type of passion that Paul had. And what we so desperately need is not just a passion for people without Christ. We need the compassion of Christ for people. Can you just sense the compassion that Christ had for people in Matthew 9:36-37 when it says, when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. He had compassion. It broke his heart that the lost didn't know him. And he was letting his followers know, we need you. The harvest is ready. We need you to go serve. There are two words that perfectly describe the vast majority of this world. They purposely describe the vast majority of people you go to work with every day. These two words perfectly describe the vast majority of people that live in your neighborhood, that go to your school. And these two words are hurt, are hurting and helplessly, and does not want to get involved, is really telling this world, I don't care if you go to hell or not. Understand what I'm saying here? If you are not passionate about God's work in missions, and you are not willing to commit to helping share the gospel, you're basically telling the world, I don't care if you go to hell or not. And so I want to close with this question today. Are you willing to invest your life in the only thing that is going to last for all eternity, and that is simply the souls of people? The single most important achievement you will ever have on this earth is allowing God to use you as a missionary, as his ambassador, to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. You never know how, when, or where Jesus will use you as a missionary. I get to be a missionary on the football field, on the basketball court, on school campuses. You can be a missionary at your place of business, wherever that you're passionate about. God can use you wherever he places you. The mission field that's out there has not thousands of people, it has not millions of people, but it has hundreds of millions of people who are just like you and I once were, who are waiting for someone like you and someone like me to stop saying, how can I be a missionary, and say, I am your missionary. God, send me. You and I were made for missions. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I just want to thank you again for the opportunity to come today and be with everyone here at Bethel. And I just pray that you would break our hearts for what breaks yours, dear God. The lost break yours, dear God. The fact that there's so many people out there that don't know you, dear God, that are dying and going to an eternity in hell separated from you, dear God. May that break our hearts. May it make us passionate about missions, dear God, both here in the Chicago area, both nationally and internationally, dear God. Give us a passion to see lost souls come to you, dear God. Help us to realize the talents and gifts that you have given us and then be able to take and use those, dear God, to impact this world for your kingdom, dear Lord. Help us to take and just seek daily how we might serve you, dear God. Make us passionate about missions. Give us your heart for the lost. In your name we pray.
Amen.